Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight.
Let's pray as we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that your word does give us wisdom. And over the next few weeks, as we look at this book of Proverbs, we pray that your Spirit would speak to us powerfully. Help us to see your ways. Help us to know your love. Help us to trust you more deeply. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, for those of you that don't know me, I'm Stewie. I'm the pastor here at Slaybrook. It's a great joy to see many visitors with us this morning, and regulars too. Whoever you are here, you are very welcome. We're beginning a series in the book of Proverbs, and over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the gallery of wisdom, the various characters within. But before we get to that, last week I started reading this book. It's called The Wisdom Pyramid by Brett McCracken. I've only got partway through so far. You can see the kind of underlining runs out in about chapter 4. But what I've read so far has been pretty helpful and pretty challenging. The author observes that despite the promises of technology to give us access to more information, to connect us to the world, and to make our lives better, what we're actually seeing in the world is less happiness, less understanding, less peace, and less wisdom. The more we scroll on our phones, the more overwhelmed we become by the state of the world around us and our complete inability to make a positive difference. So what do we do about it? Well, the author suggests that if we are going to grow in wisdom, we need to pay close attention to the information that we are taking in day by day. And he compares it to the healthy eating pyramid. Perhaps some of you remember that from school in years gone by. We know, don't we, when it comes to eating, there are certain things that you can consume a little bit of, and it's okay. But if your whole diet is based on McDonald's, chips and burgers, it's not so good for you, is it? We need to make sure that the things that make up the bottom of the pyramid, the fruit and vegetables and all the healthy stuff, that is the stuff we eat a lot of, and the other stuff we take in small amounts. Now apply that to wisdom and the intake of information we have. If we are going to be wise people, we have to make sure that the diet of information that we are taking in is properly balanced. That's going to mean cutting back, perhaps, on social media and 24-hour news channels and increasing our intake of God's word. As I said, over the next few weeks at Slaybrook, our aim is to make the book of Proverbs our guide for living a wise life. Now, when you think of Proverbs, you probably remember the kind of short, pithy sayings, which are good advice for life in this world. You know, a dog that returns to its vomit and all that sort of stuff. Just the one that came to mind. I don't know why. But wisdom isn't just go to the ant, you sluggard. There you go. That's a different one. But wisdom doesn't simply come from observing the world and what works in practice. That is the equivalent of the human wisdom that Neil was speaking to us earlier. Here's what God's word says wisdom is all about. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Just to summarize that, God's word teaches us that the wise life begins with a right relationship with God. That's at the heart of what this is saying here. It's not saying fear the Lord as in be scared of him, but show him the reverence that he deserves. Knowing God is at the heart of how we are supposed to live as human beings in this world. And so the Proverbs that we're going to read over the next few weeks, they won't make proper sense unless we are showing God the respect and reverence he deserves as our creator and redeemer. That has to be the starting place for all that we're going to look at. So, in order to help us assess our relationship with God, whether we really are living a wise life, we're going to be taking a tour through the Gallery of Wisdom. And each week we're going to kind of stop off and look at one of the portraits that are painted in the Proverbs of life in this world. And ask ourselves, are we living the kind of life which shows we fear the Lord, that we know the Holy One? Here's our first portrait this week. The wise person. And where we're focusing is in Proverbs 3, some of the most famous proverbs there are. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. First of all, we're going to see three characteristics of the wise person. They trust, they lean, and they submit. These three characteristics are seen in a wise person, a person who fears the Lord. And each one of them is habits that we need to be cultivating in our lives more and more if we are followers of Jesus here today. Now, that is not going to say that here's a three-step easy process to make your life easy. That is definitely not the case. But they are things that as Christians, we should be seeking to put into practice by the power of the Spirit. So what's the first one? Well, a wise person trusts the Lord with all their heart. As human beings, we are having to put our trust in other people every single day. So you trust the weather forecaster, don't you? When you look at the start of the day, is it going to rain today? I'm trusting that when they say it's not going to rain and I walk out without a coat, that I'll be okay. You trust the chef in the restaurant who cooks your food not to give you poison. And the fact that you eat it shows that you trust them. You trust other drivers when you drive on the road, when you cross the road as a pedestrian. You're trusting that people are actually going to stop at traffic lights and not just smash into you. We had a big smash at the end of our drive this week. Not us, some other people. The police turned up. It was all kinds of tension. Everyone's shouting at each other. They didn't trust each other. But most of the time when we're out on the road, we are trusting other people. But we need to recognize, don't we, when it comes to trusting others, there is usually a little conversation that goes on in our heads. Can I really rely on that person to do what they said? Is this person really qualified to come through on what they've said they're going to do? Perhaps I'll let them have a go, but maybe I'll just have a backup plan just in case they don't actually pull through with what they've said. What if they let me down? Our human trust has limits, doesn't it? We'll trust people so far and no further. Well, the more that we get to know the Lord, the more we should be growing in our understanding that he is the kind of person that we can completely rely on. Now just think throughout the whole of the scriptures, the whole of the Bible, what does it show us about God? It shows us someone who is faithful to his promises. Time and time and time again, when God says he'll do something for his people, it happens. Not instantly. Sometimes it's years, generations. But the promises are kept. When God says he'll do something, he delivers. We're shown that God is the creator of all things. And so he not only has the might and power, but also the authority to bring about those purposes. When he makes a promise, it's not that somebody else is going to get in the way and strong arm him and prevent him from doing what he says. Perhaps most crucially, when we look in the pages of Scripture, we see God's character displayed. Think about the Lord Jesus, the exact impression of God's being. What is he like? A God who is gracious, compassionate, loving, good. Person who cares for us. That is a person we can trust. But notice what the verse says. Trust in the Lord. Not just trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. A wise person doesn't just trust the Lord partially, they trust him with all of their heart. And in the Bible, the heart, it represents the center of a person's being, their thoughts, their emotions, their will, what they want to do. Now, each of us could obviously say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I trust the Lord. But we need to recognize if our actions are always about us trying to fix things for ourselves, or our emotions often tend towards anxiety and worry, it's a fair conclusion to make that we probably haven't learned to trust the Lord with all of our heart just yet. Now, I'm not singling anyone out here for that. That is every single one of us, if we're honest, isn't it? There are times when we trust the Lord more, and there are times when we struggle to trust what he says. I want to encourage us to see that the reason that this wholehearted trust in the Lord is important is because the Christian faith itself is built on the idea that we are completely helpless by ourselves. And the Christian faith is built upon the idea that people are dead in sin. We cannot give ourselves life. We need the Lord to come and perform spiritual CPR on us, to breathe life into us. There is nothing we can do to make God love us, to make God forgive us, to earn our salvation. The message of Christianity is that God has to do that all for us. No one we can trust but him, not even ourselves, to save us. Only Jesus can do that. And the point is, that is not just how the Christian life begins, it is how the Christian life continues. How we go on day by day, learning to be stronger in our faith, trusting him more. We have to rely on God, not ourselves. We need to trust the Lord with all our hearts to be transforming us by his Spirit. He is the one who can make us into the people he made us to be. A wise person trusts the Lord with all their heart. But a kind of companion piece to that is the second half of verse 5, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and the opposite of that, lean not on your own understanding, or a different way of saying the same thing. A wise person does not lean on their own understanding. The reality is, many people do not live trusting the Lord. Instead, they trust themselves. They trust their own judgments about what is right, about what is the best way to live in this world. Maybe it seems odd to us that of these three characteristics of a wise person, one of them is stated negatively. But remember, this is a contrast to trusting the Lord with all our heart. If we're not going to trust the Lord with all our heart, what are we going to do? We're going to lean on our own understanding. We're going to trust ourselves. And we cannot claim to be completely devoted to trusting the Lord if the reality is that we are leaning on our own understanding or the understanding of the world to support us. Now, the idea of leaning on something for support is pretty familiar. We've seen it demonstrated for us once already today, haven't we? But it's also familiar to those of us that have ever had to use a walking stick or a pair of crutches. A few years back, I broke my ankle. I'll tell you the story another time. But it was several, and it is quite a story, it was several months that I needed to use a pair of crutches to support me when I was walking, to keep me from falling over. Now, when I was walking with crutches, I had to trust that the crutches were strong enough to support me. I had to lean my whole body weight on them. And so I had to know that they were strong enough to bear me, because otherwise I would be leaning on my broken bones. And what would that do? Bring greater pain and greater damage to my leg. So what's the problem with leaning on our own understanding when it comes to living life in God's world? Well, it's like using a crutch made out of balsa wood. You ever come across balsa wood? Maybe it's just geeky craft people that have done that. But balsa wood is that really light, soft wood that people use for like model planes and things like that. And it's really useful for some things. But the problem is, it's really weak. You know, a child could break it with their bare hands. And obviously, it does not have the strength to carry the weight of a person. If you put it under any real pressure, it would snap. You would fall. You would hurt yourself badly. That is the reality of trying to live your life according to your own limited human wisdom. Any attempts at being wise in our own eyes are ultimately doomed to failure. Because what we are doing is we're asking our limited knowledge and understanding to carry a weight it could never bear. As wise as we might be in the eyes of the world, it cannot carry us through life, through all the ups and downs of what this life in this world is like. It will not sustain us in the lowest of lows. And it will not keep us grounded in the highest of highs. As finite human beings, we can never truly grasp all there is to know about every subject. To be able to declare what is good, what is right in every circumstance in life. You know, they say, don't they, when you speak to experts and kind of scientific brainiacs who know everything about a subject and they write PhDs and they go into such depth about stuff. Those people say, the more that I learn, the more I realize the less I know. We think we know about stuff. And then we find out actually how little we really, truly know. If we genuinely expect our own great wisdom and understanding to guide us through life, to show us what to do, it is going to let us down. We will be disappointed. Just take a moment to think about your life. To consider those areas in your life where, in all honesty, you are leaning on your own understanding of what is right and good. Take a moment. Think about the actions that you are performing which show that you think you know better than God what you should do, what is good for you, what will make you happy. The wise person is able to say honestly to God, your kingdom come, your will be done. Because they recognize that trusting in the Lord and leaning not on their own understanding is the way that a wise person lives. Doesn't make it easy, but it is the way we are called as followers of Jesus to live our lives. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. The third one, the third mark of a wise person. A wise person submits to the Lord in all their ways. Look at verse 6. In all your ways, submit to him. Now, we live in a culture, don't we, where people are hugely suspicious of submitting to anyone. You know, whether it's in the workplace, or the family, or the church, power dynamics is something that people are much more aware of these days. And I guess in this room, some of us are familiar with the horror stories of when people with power abuse their authority and use it to make us do things they should never ask us to do. The reality is we can find the word submit hard to stomach. And so we read this and we say, submit to the Lord in all of my ways. Is that really the good choice? Is it really wise to let God call the shots? Yet we know, don't we, from everyday life, that there are occasions where we will submit to authorities. You know, just think about it. You know, on your way to your holidays, driving down the M5, and on your way to Cornwall, it's going to be lovely. But people do behave differently when authorities are there, don't they? When people see a police car coming down the road, all of a sudden, it's amazing how people suddenly see that actually my mobile phone shouldn't be next to my ear while I'm driving. And I probably should be wearing my seatbelt. And I should be doing 70, not 90. Middle lane hoggers magically pull over into the slow lane. It's amazing, isn't it? And the point is that people mostly recognize when a police car is there, I do have to submit to the laws of the road. The policeman has the right to tell me how to drive. When you and I submit to the Lord in all we do, I think a pretty similar dynamic is going on, don't we? We are acknowledging something about the Lord, about who he is. The Lord God is the wise, all-knowing King of the universe. And we are not, as we sang earlier. He made this world to work in a certain way. And so he has the right to tell us to use his world according to his instructions. When we live according to God's pattern for life, giving him the rightful place as the Lord of our lives, well, then we are submitting to him. But there's a difference, isn't there, between God and a policeman? A policeman is just there to hold us to the rules, to tell us what to do. We know more about God than we do about that police officer driving that car down the M5. See, we know that God is loving and kind. We know that God is consistent and faithful. We know that God does not abuse his power. We know that God is working for our good. And so to submit to him, well, actually, as difficult as it might be in the middle of hard circumstances, actually it is something we can do without fear. Without fear that it will go wrong. Without fear that my life will be worse if I do what God wants. And God loves us. God wants what's good for us. To submit to him will work. It will be right. We need to trust him with all our hearts. And so, if we want to live wise lives, we need to be seeking to be obedient to the Lord in all our ways. That is what it's going to look like to submit to him, isn't it? To say, yes, God, your way is best, not mine. And there isn't really any wriggle room in the verse to find any exception, isn't there? To claim that there is some part of your life where actually Jesus has no right to tell you how to live. No wisdom or understanding. Jesus, you can't turn around to Jesus and say you don't understand. He knows because he made us. And he understands everything that we're going through. He knows what is good for us. And so all our ways includes our home life, our work life, our thought life, our family time, our free time, our thoughts and our actions. If we read this and we say, in all your ways, except, we've got this wrong. So if there is some part of your life today where you know that you are not living according to God's ways, where you know that your thoughts or your actions, well, actually they are sin, acknowledge today that God is Lord of that too. Ask him to help you repent, to submit to him in that area of your life. We can trust that he will help. Three characteristics of the wise person. There is more. There's a second half of verse 6. One promise to the wise. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Those were the things that characterized the wise person. That then what we're seeing here in the second half of verse 6 is the outcome we expect to see in the lives of a wise person. The Lord will make their paths straight. Now, I think this verse raises one of the biggest problems for people reading Proverbs today. We know the world doesn't always work like it should. I think sometimes we read the book of Proverbs and we think everything's going to be perfect then. We just do what God says, turn the handle and out cranks a great life. where everything's hunky-dory and lovely and we're all happy and wonderful. But we know that life doesn't work like that, do we? There are people who love the Lord, who try to do what he says, and they have horrible, hard lives. What do we make of a verse like this? You know, for some people, seeking to live wise lives as followers of Jesus makes their life tougher, not easier. How can we say the Lord will make our paths straight when that doesn't seem to fit with our experience? Well, I was helped to understand this by a preacher who suggested that we can understand the relationship between the book of Proverbs and life in this world by comparing them to a map of a city that has experienced an earthquake. You know, when you have a map of a city, it shows you here's the streets, here's the direction, here's how to get where you want to go. When there's been an earthquake, well, everything is turned upside down, isn't it? There's debris everywhere. There's broken roads. There's holes in the ground. And sometimes that means things don't work like they're supposed to. You can't get to where you would get if you followed the route of the map. Things aren't quite right. And we need to think of the map as the way that God established this world. According to his wisdom, this is how things should work. But what has happened is that sin has come into this world and shaken things up like an earthquake. And it's left debris and chaos everywhere. So that sometimes things don't work as they should. And until the Lord Jesus returns, we are always going to encounter situations where the world feels slightly out of sync with the way that God has created it to work. Doesn't mean the map isn't true. Doesn't mean the map doesn't show us the way. It doesn't break God's promise. What Proverbs is saying here is not simply that when we trust God, he'll point us in the right direction and send us on our way and it'll be fine. No, there is something more spectacular in view here. God is offering to do the heavy lifting for us to ensure that those who trust in him are placed secure on a motorway of wise living. If we trust the Lord, he'll blast the debris out of the way. He'll enable us by the power of his Spirit to stay on the road. He'll be able to smooth things through. The mountains, the valleys, the ups, the downs. He can keep us living a wise life even through those things. This verse is a little bit like the way that John the Baptist speaks when he's announcing that he's there to kind of prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight the highway for our God. That is what God is claiming to do for us. He'll make a road. He'll make a path for us. And he'll enable us to stay on that road. We can live a wise life. Even in the earthquake-wrecked, sin-spoiled world that we live in. Now, if that is how we are to understand this verse, then we need to recognize that the Lord is intimately involved in enabling us to stay on the straight and narrow way of wisdom. And that is a challenge, as we saw earlier, to our self-sufficient view of sanctification. The one that says, well, you know, God saves us. And then he says, right, off you go. Live a wise life now. You've got to do it in your power and your strength. No. God is not expecting us to be able to live for him perfectly all the time by ourselves, in our strengths. We don't have to do it ourselves. The wise person learns to trust the Lord with all their heart, not to lean on their own understanding, to rely on him, not just for the knowledge of where to go, but for the resources to be actually able to do it, to submit to him in all our ways. And as we do, the Lord himself will be at work in our lives by his Spirit to direct our paths, to make them straight, to help us more and more to stay on the road to becoming like Jesus. If we want to be wise, we need to keep these verses in mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Let's pray that we would experience that in our lives this summer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a source of wisdom given by you that we can trust, that has been proven to be accurate over generations, as your people through the ages have listened and obeyed and followed. And so thank you that when we read these words today, we can have confidence that they are true, that they do work, even though our experiences challenge that. Lord, for those who are struggling to trust you today with all their hearts, please reveal yourself to them more fully, that they would know your love and compassion and faithfulness. Lord, for those who are leaning on their own understanding, please humble our pride. Help us to see that you are God and we are not. For those of us who are struggling to submit to your ways in certain areas of our lives, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, enable us to put sin to death. And as we look to the future, help us to trust that you will make straight our paths, even through the ups and downs of this life. Would we know your power at work in us through your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.